But we are going to change. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. You're going to read about the sower so much. We're going through this series. I don't know how long this is going to last. Somebody asked me, how long are you going to preach on change? Until you change, number one. So some of you, it may be a whole year, I'm not sure. But we're going to teach on change. And we have got to understand the parable of the sower. I'm going to tell you this, if you don't get the parable of the sower, you will not get anything else. You will mentally filter God's word in a manner that is incorrect. You have got to understand the sower. Look at your neighbor and say, understand the sower. You've got to study the sower. You've got to get this on your heart inside of you that it becomes second nature. Because the Bible tells us this is how the kingdom of God operates. Amen. God has given you a manual to know how the kingdom operates. I do not operate in natural circumstances. Because if I did, I would be broke, busted, and disgusted. I'd be living off the government. I would have never made it through high school if I lived off this natural circumstances. But I live in kingdom principles. I live in kingdom principles. And so if we are kingdom minded, if we operate in kingdom principles, then we better understand how the kingdom operates. When we have diplomats go overseas and they speak to kings and they speak to ambassadors and they speak on the behalf of the United States, they speak with the whole authority of the United States. When our president goes overseas, he speaks not as himself, but he speaks on behalf of the nation. I love watching or listening or reading presidential speeches. I enjoy it. I have not missed an inaugurational address. Now, thankfully, because of the internet, I'm able to go back and listen to them instead of having to clear my schedule to hear it. But when I was younger, I always made sure, all the way back to Clinton, I've watched every inaugural address. And then I've gone back and listened to ones that are archived because I want to hear someone that is speaking on behalf of a whole nation. And some of them I've really enjoyed, some of them are blah, and some of them are just absolutely fantastic. One speech that I really enjoy is when President Reagan went over and was speaking to the Soviet Union, and he said, tear down this wall. Do you know why it was important that wall go down? They refused to let the gospel go in. And when you build up a wall against a nation for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go in, you have not just made one nation your enemy, you have made all of heaven your enemy, and God with time will give them every opportunity to change. But if they refuse to change, he will stand up. He will send someone to say, tear down this wall before we come in and do it for you. When Reagan spoke, he knew he had the force of all of the United States behind him. And us as kingdom living, when we see an injustice, when we see the word of God not coming to pass in our life or in our family's life, if the enemy has set himself up against us personally, we're able to rise up, walk outside our property and tell the enemy, I am putting you on notice. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. So in essence, what you're saying is to the kingdom of hell, tear down this wall. And you're not speaking as Pastor T.L. Sadler or Larry or Jeff or whoever else, Jesse or Bev, you're not just speaking with your own power. You're speaking as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You're speaking on the authority of all of heaven. We'll get into it. But never did a wall go down. Never did an army get defeated that the seed of words were not sown first. Words were always sown before any battle, before any problems, before anything was ever answered. Words were sown. And there was a seed that was sown that had power backing it up. What is the greatest seed on the face of the earth?
The Word of God.
Your finances is a powerful seed. Your time is a powerful seed. But there's no seed like God's Word. God's Word will bring it to pass when nothing else can. Let's talk about, you know, finances being a seed. Absolutely, it'll open doors. It'll move mountains. But if that was the greatest seed, some of us would be left at a disadvantage. God has made sure we're all on the same playing field. Whether you were born in the projects or you were a trust fund baby, we're all born on the same level to sow the greatest seed on the face of the earth. And that is God's Word. So how do we change our lives? And this is what I want to get into this morning. And I feel that sometimes we've all been here where we read God's Word and we see that all the promises are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. But yet we look at our own lives and say, I don't see it. How do I get from knowing and believing? I'm believing. I am believing, God. I am in faith. How do I get from not having anything, operating, to stepping up into the kingdom of God? And can I tell you this? We don't go from mess to mess. We go from glory to glory. Have you ever had friends that were into drama? And I'm not talking about acting and flags in the church. You know, miming. That's not what I'm talking about. Not that drama. But everywhere they were, there was drama. Oh, Lord. I've hung up on people because of drama. And I'm not talking about friends. I'm talking about in the church. But like, call me. Pastor, somehow we lost the connection. I know. I know we did. Well, let me tell you. Pastor, yeah, we lost the connection again. I know we did. Well, let me tell you. Pastor, I think there's something wrong with your phone. Oh, there he is. There is. It's got a little button right here that hangs up when I press it down. You're hanging up on me? Uh-huh. Why? Because I don't want to hear it. If you're doing nothing but bringing drama and gossip, I don't want to hear it. I have no desire to hear it, especially if you're not willing to have the person that you want to talk about in the room with us. That's God's Word. That's God's Word. Oh, let me bring it up to the north. No, 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 no. Y'all do the chicken dance. I forget about that stuff. But I don't want to hear it. I'm not into drama. I worked one time where drama was everywhere. And I was around it for so long, I forgot what it was to live without it. And then once I didn't work there anymore, I just remember thinking, oh my God, I will never go back to that. I will never allow this in my life. I will never operate in this. I don't care who it is. I've had to tell family members, you bring this into my house, you bring this on my vacation, you bring this among me and my children, we will leave. I will not put up with it. I will not have my kids operate in it. I will not allow that in my life. So you either leave it out, or when you come in, we will go out. That's how much I am against dealing with that mess. So there's some people that don't go from glory to glory. They go from drama to drama. And I've seen people, I've seen this operate where they're here like, I don't know why it always happens. It always happens. It always happens. What's the common denominator? You. Everywhere I go is you. You're there. You might be the problem. I'm not saying stuff hasn't happened to you. I'm not saying that it doesn't cause things around you or causing, but your response, you're getting the same result. I remember one time, and I learned very quickly to never come home like this, but I came home and I told my daddy, "Daddy, my teachers don't like me. They just don't like me." And he looked at me and said, "Why?" I'm like, "I don't know." He's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Do I need to take care of you right now?" I'm like, "Oh, no, my teachers love me." I'm number one in their eyes. He said, "Son, if everybody doesn't like you, you are the only common denominator. Maybe you need to change." My daddy didn't allow me to blame anyone. It was so nice when I got away from him and I could blame people. But can I tell you, life will be sweeter when you begin to change to get different results. Think of life as one great test where you're constantly sowing seeds. Farmers do this all the time. They'll mark their whole field. They'll have set fields up into different sections and spray a certain type of fertilizer here, a certain different, same corn, different seed, different brand here. What is the bushels that I'm getting on this harvest? And they'll say, "You know what? This fertilizer with this seed is working better." They're making changes to increase the yield in their life. If Christians were only as smart to say, "This, I keep getting the same result. I need something to change." Yes. And then to begin to apply the change. You know what? In churches all over the nation, some are bringing zero, some are bringing 30, 60, and 100 fold. I don't want to be a church of zero. I don't want to be a church of 30. I don't want to be a church of 60. I want 100-fold. Amen. That means every member producing 100-fold in their life. I don't have time for you to be broke, busted, and disgusted. And I'm not talking just about finances. If you're thinking finances, okay, that's true. We got stuff to do. I need you to prosper. But that ain't what I'm talking about. I need you to spiritually prosper. I need all the promises that are in him, yes, and in him, amen, operating in your life. I need you to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I need you to speak God's word and things change instantaneous. I need families that are strong, marriages that are strong, children growing up with purpose, knowing God, speaking in tongues, full of power. I need a church that is operating in God's word. So when the world begins to look and say, "All of this is phony and fake, and I need something real," that the church stands up as a beacon shining to the world. When politicians fail them, the church needs to be there. When the towers fall, the church needs to be there. When kingdoms rise up and kingdoms collapse, the church needs to be there. When earthquakes ravage nations, the church needs to go in before the United Nations, before the Red Cross. We need to step in and show the love of God. That's going to take us changing and becoming a greater disciple of Jesus Christ. Our motto, if you want to call it that, is redemption, righteousness, relationships. Love God, love people, make disciples of Jesus Christ. If we are not making disciples, let's shut this place down. Let's quit doing this. Go to a church that is doing it. I refuse to not make disciples. When Jesse was talking about the announcements and say we do things on purpose, we're not doing events to do events. Events are good if they fulfill our call. And when they fulfill our call, and can I tell you this? When we do events, we're going to do them excellent. We're going to be great
at what we do. And if we can't do it great, we might have to wait till next year, to when we get more people and we can do it great. But we're going to do it great. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be on purpose. And it's going to be with the design to bring redemption, righteousness, and relationships to the body of Christ. Loving God, loving people, and making disciples. If it doesn't fit into that, forget it. You want a club? Go join a club. But this is a church full of God's power. Now we're about to start the message this morning. Have you found Mark chapter 4? The parable of the sower. We're going to start with Mark 4 and 3. I always love the King James. Hearken! Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell upon the stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 8, and others fell upon good ground and did yield fruit that sprung up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Look at your neighbor and say, we're 100-fold. Look at your other neighbor and say, we are 100-fold. Hello. We don't have time for you to be 30. We don't have time, not age, but we don't have time for you to be 60. Not age, but bringing forth a harvest. We have to have 100-fold minimum operating in this church. Now, I want you to jump to verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How will you know all parables? What an amazing statement. Jesus just said, you don't get this one, you're not going to get any of the rest. How important is it that we know this? How important is in our spiritual walk that we know the parable of the sower, that we understand it? You may have just heard that and said, I have no idea what it's talking about. The good news is, if Jesus, who is our teacher, God, our teacher, he's the best teacher on the face of the earth. He gives us multiple choice questions. I always love those tests. Not, you know, we got to fill out a paragraph and all this. You know, write a whole paper on something. I'm like, Jesus gives you questions and then tells you which one to pick. I set before you, this is the test. I set before you life and death. Choose life. Just in case you didn't catch on that one. Choose life. Best teacher you could ever have. And so God says, we have got to understand this principle. But then he gives us what the principle is. Now, verse 26, you don't have to turn there. We're going to go to 14. But verse 26 says, and he said, so is the kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. This verse, this parable about sowing and reaping, he says, this is the kingdom of God. This is how God operates. This is how God functions. This is how God functions. You want to understand God? Understand this parable. Verse 14. This is the answer. He's given us the interpretation. And the sower sows the
word.
And the sower sows the
word.
And the sower sows the
word.
The word is the greatest seed on the face of the earth. It is the most powerful. It will change your life when nothing else can. When you have failed 12 steps twice. You failed 24 of them. The word will produce for you. The word is the greatest seed. So the word, verse 15, and these are by the wayside which were sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Where is it sown? In the hearts. This is key stuff here. You got to pay attention to this. This is key. It's sown in the heart. But just as soon as the word comes, the enemy comes in to steal the word. This is why I grew up in service like this. Are you ready? But I never liked it. And this is why. Oh, church was good this morning. What did Pastor preach on? I don't know. But it was good. Wait a minute. You have no idea what Pastor preached on, but it was a good service? What's wrong with you? The word is the greatest seed. That's what must be sown. I'm all for praise and worship. Praise and worship is amazing. I like to move it. I don't know if you've noticed. And I am nothing here that I am at home. If you ever think Pastor really is into praise and worship this morning, when you see me at the house, you'll never see that. I just want you to know. But if you see me at the house, it's nuts. It's a free for all. It's fantastic. I embarrass my wife. I've had someone tell me, God doesn't need all that. Let me tell you, God is not deaf. He can hear you. I mean, like, and he's not nervous either. I don't make God nervous. I may make you nervous, but I don't make God nervous. God enjoys my praise. I think, I have a vivid imagination, but I think God every once in a while bumps Jesus and says, watch Tim. He's about to praise me. And it is going to be horribly wonderful. But the greatest seed, you know, I love praise and worship. I love children's ministry. I love everything that is that the church does. And we do it on purpose and we do it with the best that we have. But the greatest seed is the word. It is the word. That's why when we sing the word. That's why when our children go back to children's church, they're taught the word. Our nursery, that's not a babysitting so you can come in here and hear. Our children are actually taught God's word. We get the word on the inside of them. Now, I love it because my little girl is in nursery. You know, they're children, right? So they're growing up. They're changing. And you ask them, what did you learn today? I don't know. Something was on fire. Like, you mean the burning bush? I don't know. Something was burning. Be like, Noah threw down nets. Be like, you mean Jesus? Yeah, somebody. But they're getting it. And with time, they'll be coming out as teenagers as powerful. They'll be coming out laying hands on the sick and them recovering. No deadly thing formed against them will prosper. Why? Because they were taught the word in nursery. Because it's the greatest seed known to mankind. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's His word that we put on the inside of you. It is His word that you must cultivate. You must watch over and cause it to grow. Can I tell you something? If this is the only place you're hearing God's word, you're not going to be that strong of a disciple. You need to spend time with the Lord yourself, reading God's word yourself, finding an area that is lacking in your life, and finding God's word on the subject and focusing in on that word. Because that is what will bring change, is God's word. And they are likewise, which were sown on stony ground, when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and with no root on the in themselves, received the word with gladness, but didn't water it, didn't watch over it, so the roots didn't grow deep. Do you know what you need for the roots to grow deep? Heavy water, heavy saturation. Not sprinkled. They tell you, we planted a new tree last year, and they said, you got to soak it. You got to put the water down deep so the roots don't spread out sideways, that they go deep in the ground. And that tree will be solid.
And so then they make these things that you can zip around the tree and fill it up with quite a few gallons, 10 gallons, and it leaks slowly for 3 days, putting water deep in the ground. And it drives the roots down deep. We have got to water God's word. If we're lacking in our life, the only thing that's going to bring change is sowing God's word in our hearts. Watering it, taking care of it, watching over it. How do you do that? You keep applying God's word. We'll get into it. But I want you to see here, and I'm ending, there's two types of people that we're talking about. Sowers and reapers. Sowers and reapers. So we got to look at it from two different points of view. But we need to do both. Oh, that's good preaching. Thank you. We've got to be sowers and we've got to be reapers. And can I tell you something? I'm as serious about reaping my harvest as I am about sowing it. What farmer is so careful to sow the seed, sow the seed, sow the seed, and when a time comes from harvest that they don't do anything with it? They don't let the harvest die out there. They bring in the harvest. I think this is a mistake of some people in the church, is that we focus so much on sowing that we never focus on reaping. How to get from believing to receiving. And so we've got to do both. And to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to be sowers and reapers. We're going to have this scripture in our hearts and the understanding behind it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's almost done. Look at your other neighbor and say, I wish he wouldn't quit. I know, but you know, eventually, I have to eventually. All right. Verse 14 talks about receiving. In verse 20. Verse 14 is about sowing. Verse 20 is about reaping. We've got to do both. We've got to be sowers and we've got to be reapers. We strive to be the sower, but before we could ever be the sower, we have to be a receiver. You get the word of God before you ever get your life to Jesus. Someone brought the word to you. You believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You confessed him, you believed, and you were saved. You received the word. You received, you planted it in your heart, and it changed your life forever. Amen. Step one. I've heard people say, I don't have faith for this. I don't know if I can believe for this. Wait a minute. You gave your life to Jesus. And to do that, there's nothing you do. You just believe. And now you were on your way to the pits of hell, and now you're on your way to heaven because you believed and you confessed out loud. But yet, you don't have faith. I think that's the greatest thing you can believe for. I mean, you did nothing and you're on your way to heaven. Jesus paid the price for you and you're on your way to heaven. That is the hardest thing to believe for. Once you have that, everything is possible. Amen. Just add the same faith. Take God at his word. And so you receive God's word, you plant it in your heart, there is a harvest. Can I tell you something? The harvest is really never meant for you. It's never really meant for you. It's always for someone else. An apple tree is an apple tree because it is an apple tree. It produces apples because it's what it is. You produce good works because you are a Christian. Good works naturally come from you. You don't produce good works to prove you're a Christian. You produce good works because you are a Christian. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You couldn't stop good works if you tried. It's just who you are. It's in your DNA. It's in your makeup. Now, second thing, let's talk about the apple tree. The apple tree produces a lot of apples. It all came from one seed, and it produces a lot of apples. If you took every one of those apples and never allowed them to fall to the ground, would the apple tree still live? Oh, I hear both. I hear yes and no. Can I tell you something? The apple tree is not dependent upon its fruit to live. Now, its fruit helps grow other apple trees. But it gets its nutrients from the ground. It gets its substance from the ground. We get our substance from the Word of God. We produce fruit so the kingdom of God can spread. We get fruit so we can give to others. Now listen, I know you're going with finances with this, but take it back to the Word. Can I tell you something? I remember someone telling me that they had financial trouble and they were going to lose their home. And I thought, well, maybe we can help. Maybe we can help. And then when they told me how much they needed, it was $1 million+. And I'm like, whoo. But like, Lord, I'd love to help them. But I ain't got $1 million in the bank, Lord. And they keep telling me their story. And the Lord checks my heart. You have the answer to this. And I'm thinking, you gave me $1 million. I'd love to sow it, Lord. But that is not, I don't have it. And so what did I have to do? Sow the Word. And can I tell you something? When I began to sow the Word, my mind was going tilt, tilt, tilt. How can this person get $1 million? How can we ever come out of this? This is insanity. I wanted to open the Bible, put my finger down, look up. Oh, chapter 11. Yes, now I have an answer. Now I have an answer. Can I tell you something? God was miraculous and got over $1 million in their hand and set them free. Can I tell you something else? They go to this church. Why wasn't that clap louder than the other? Like, yes, Lord! The Word of God can bring forth $1 million. The Word of God can save your life. The Word of God can save your soul. The Word of God can cause your body to be healed. I had a family member that was in a car wreck that should have died. And they told us 75% chance of her dying. Her car flipped. I called them up. She was in a coma. And I believed what I was doing was calling the family to console them as their loved one dies. And then once I got on the phone, the Spirit of God hit me. A spirit of faith, not mine. It wasn't because of me. The Lord moved on my heart and I began to speak God's word. I said, put me on speakerphone. They put me on speakerphone. I began to call her by name. You will live and not die and proclaim the word of the Lord. You will come out of this. I speak to your body right now in the name of Jesus. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I command your body to come in line with the word of God, and he calls you well. He calls you whole. No sickness, no disease shall take you. You are set free according to God's word. Nothing changed. A week later, she comes out of the coma. She's alive today. She'll never walk. Yes, you will. I called her. You will walk? This is ridiculous. You're going to walk. She's walking. She's set free. Today, you would never know. You would never know that she almost died. You will never know by looking at her, because God made her whole. I may not be a doctor, I may not have $1 million, but I got the word of God, and whatever it is you need, we will plant that word in your heart and it will bring a harvest. Hallelujah! Somebody better praise him in this place. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Father, whatever need we have, you're answering it now. The word of God is sown in our hearts, and we are bringing a harvest. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm about to come unglued in this place. Yes. Good Lord. Thank you. This morning, you better be glad you came this morning. You're about to be set free this morning. You got a need? You got a need? Well, let me tell you something. I got the right seed this morning for your need. my goodness. I don't know, Pastor. I don't know how I'm going to come out of this. I got the right seed this morning for your need. How would you act this morning if God planted the seed in your heart that caused your family to be whole, that caused your finances to be whole, caused your brain to come back in the manner that it should have been operating the whole time, caused your depression to leave, caused your sickness to leave? How would you act this morning? Oh my Lord. So we are sowers. Look at your neighbor and say, we are sowers. Don't sit down. We're about to be done. So how do we sow? We speak the word. We live the word. And we sow the word. Your heart is a field that's ripe for harvest. We sow something supernatural into a natural heart, and it produces natural fruit. It causes the supernatural to bring forth and operate in the natural. This natural world, this natural way, time, mass, matter, will all dissolve one day. And the only thing that will stay around is the kingdom of God. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The harvest that you reap is really up to you. The sower, we have a field before sowers. We sow the word, we reap a harvest, and we help others. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. Don't wait for an altar call. Come on up here.